Hello, my name is Terry Smith, and I would like to reflect with you on the role that innovation has played in our Canadian Baptist Global Mission endeavors. Allow me to take you back to May 1994, the year that my wife Heather and I joined Canadian Baptist International Ministries. At the spring of 1994 board meetings, the members of the boards of CBIM and the Canadian Baptist Federation voted to dissolve their two entities and form one organization together, Canadian Baptist Ministries. The move to merge two distinct movements, one a foreign mission board and the other a national denominational body, was bold, audacious, risky, and frankly innovative. At a time when other Christian mission agencies were drifting towards fragmentation, these joint boards moved in a different direction: unity of purpose and mission, nationally and internationally. Such bold and innovative moves were not new to our Canadian Baptist church family throughout its already 120-year history. Countless milestones marked the road with innovation, such as opening new fields at the invitation of national church leaders in Kenya, Indonesia, and Brazil, to cite a few. Or at a time when many Protestant churches were calling for a moratorium on North American missions, CBM took steps which showed a bold, even risk-taking approach to mission. Joint pioneer outreach and task forces, where missionaries were told that their tenure to a specific place would not exceed 10 years with such a change. Or empowering women to take the lead in creating mission stations in Indonesia and Bolivia also marked a new approach in a very male-dominated context. And now today, CBM is led by a bold, innovative woman, Jennifer Lau, as are the CBOQ with Leanne Friesen and the CBAC with Renee McVicker. During the past 30 years, I have witnessed unprecedented, innovative achievements. At the risk of neglecting many brilliant initiatives, allow me to name just a few. Under the leadership of John Keith and Bob Berry, CBM commissioned and sent almost a dozen families back to their home countries in Europe during Perestroika. Baptist leaders went back to serve in their homelands of Latvia, Croatia, Belgium, Belarus, etc., countries that they had emigrated from in the previous decade. Or the Sharing Way, under Suzanne Sagan Gertz, Muriel Bent, and Marilyn Smith, identified and empowered nationals to lead our Canadian Baptist relief and development work, giving us such gifted leaders as David Sharma and Sam Mutisia. Gordon King followed suit and appointed Emigdio Vezaga, Gato Munya Musoko, and Dr. Judson in similar roles. Today, the majority of our field staff are nationals working within their cultural milieu and intimately aware of our partners' strengths and weaknesses. Kathy Phillips was concerned about the injustice of Bolivia's penal system that allowed wives to fulfill their husband's prison sentences. She also saw a need to provide for children of incarcerated women. Kathy worked with the Bolivian Baptist Women's Association to initiate the Prison Kids Ministry, which became known as the Casa de la Amistad, or Friendship House, and has since ministered to thousands of children and youth, giving them a bright and promising future. CBM TSW staff led innovative nutrition programs in what was then Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Even today, the leaders of the Baptist churches in the DRC thank us for promoting those bright red Loden beans. These beans were named after CBM missionaries Doug and Kathy Loden, who encouraged pastors and farmers to diversify their diet from simple manioc, cassava or yuca, to legumes and avocados. Paul Stevens of Regent College and Brian Stelk of Cary Theological College launched a joint program with CBM to train African church leaders through a certificate, then a bachelor's, master's, and finally doctoral program. Many of our African partners' leadership was trained through this innovative and groundbreaking approach to theological education. or Jeff and Deanne Carter, who spearheaded a transformational youth training program in Europe called Horizon, after spending over a year conducting a multi-country needs assessment. Today, Horizon has been adopted by the Baptist World Alliance as its global youth training program. Eli and Mireille Haddad opened the way for CBM to work in a very high-risk but innovative manner in the Middle East through the LSESD, now known as Timar, at the Arab Baptist Theological Seminary. Rupin and Mamta Das helped launch what has become one of the most transformational community development programs that CBM has ever supported, and that too is within Timar. The list could go on and on. No one nor any organization should set out with the stated goal of simply being innovative. In fact, innovation is more often the result of repeated failures with the permission to do so. Thomas Edison once quipped, "I didn't fail. I have just found 10,000 ways that won't work." He knew a thing or two about the gradual disruptive nature of innovation. Many of us who have served with CBM over recent decades would readily admit that we were allowed, even encouraged, to attempt new things, often at the risk of failure. Whether it was finding creative ways to address economic disparity through microloans, combating gender inequality in the church, attempting alternative modes of theological education and spiritual formation, building ecumenical links to address food insecurity, and speaking truth to power in peace-building and reconciliation. Our leaders invited us to try, and if it didn't work, try something different. A corollary to this permission-to-fail culture of innovation has been and continues to be an openness to change. In fact, in each of the examples I've cited above, the CBM leadership and personnel were not satisfied with the status quo. We never heard the words, "We don't do it that way," from our leaders. In the early 2000s, Carla Nelson helped launch and Patty Card helped lead an innovative new way of working with our African partners through the Guardians of Hope program, serving children who had either been infected or affected by HIV and AIDS. This was when the stigma of the disease was still rampant in the church. CBM's leadership embraced the chance to change not only our fields of work, but our partnerships and our models of cross-cultural mission. Our leaders set the staff free and gave them the means to attempt new things. And finally, but most importantly, innovation in mission as Canadian Baptists was made possible because we were inspired by the message of Colossians 3:23 and 24. This verse, by the way, was our inspiration when we launched Venture, CBM's Faith and Work, or Whole Life Discipleship Initiative. Its message permeates any and every innovative aspect of our ministry. Translated by Eugene Peterson in the Message, the passage reads like this: "And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart, for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ." CBM and its Canadian Baptist partners know and embrace what Oz Guinness in The Call refers to as living and working for an audience of one. While we understand leadership structures and benchmarks and strategic plans, we also know that our ultimate accountability was to God alone. Charlie and Fran Harvey exemplified this. When told back in the 70s that the mission board had given clear instruction for them to flee the DR Congo and return to Canada during a time of sectarian violence, Charlie's now famous response was, "Well, the board can ask me what they wish, but my real boss, Jesus Christ, has told me to stay and work with the Congolese people." Others have echoed these words, such as the Matawanas and the Fosters in the DR Congo, the Haddads in Lebanon, and the Macbeths in Angola. The father of the modern-day mission movement, William Carey, once wrote, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." Today, more than ever, we want to follow our ultimate master, Jesus Christ, in working across linguistic, cultural, ethnic, and geographical frontiers in order to heal a broken world through word and deed. And whenever and wherever innovation happens along the way, Soli Deo Gloria.